third speaker is Andy Parr. Andy has been with the City of Rock Island since 2008, and he has been a stormwater technician since 2012. Most of his duties are directly tied to the environmental issues that affect Rock Island and its residents. He completed the University of Illinois Extension Master Naturalist program this fall and enjoys all things nature. So, Andy Parr.
Thank you. Thank you. See if this mouse works. Okay, well, is this still on? Okay, yep, definitely. Okay, well, like I said, I'm Andy Parr. I'm here to talk to you today about our rain garden program. They asked me to kind of come in and speak, give a little head, you know, rundown of what it is. Is there any Rock Island, City of Rock Island residents here? Couple? Cool. And if not, I would encourage anybody, and it's kind of applies, because I'd encourage anybody, whether you're from a county or a village, one of the suburbs, anybody, if you want to talk to your council, go in and start talking about getting a rain garden program established. This is kind of a good outline of how ours is functioning and how well it's done. It's been around since, it started in 2005, before my time, and we currently have a couple hundred rain gardens in the city, and we do, this year I've been promoting it like crazy because I've recently inherited the bulk of it. I was just the assistants for a while on it, but since I've taken it over, I've spoken at a couple of events this year, and we're pretty much out of funds for this year, anybody in Rock Island. We have a little bit left, but talk to me, get on a list, and we'll get you going next year. Which is awesome. I'm glad to see we're out of funds, actually. A lot of information is going to be thrown at you today, already has, and more to come. I printed out the best stuff, I think, from my presentation, all on this table with my cards. I know there's a lot of information, so just grab this, cancel all your social engagements this weekend, look these over, and then give me a call on Monday, and I'll be happy to discuss any of this with you. See if this mouse doesn't work for me. Oh, yeah, did you hit it?
I didn't touch it.
Okay. So the first half of the presentation will be mostly just what is a rain garden, what we expect to see if you're engaged in the program, and then the second half we'll go into a little more specifics about reimbursement and that kind of stuff. So things to keep in mind, I'm not sure if that, is that my first slide? Maybe not. But maybe I just messed it up too, so. Okay, there we go. Okay, really easy. I mean, everyone here is probably familiar with the rain garden. What is it? It's just a shallow depression filled with native plants that collect water. Put them in a spot that's going to collect water, not at the highest point in your yard. Pretty basic. I can't click it. Oh, I'm doing something. Sorry. Okay, so characteristics of a rain garden. Real quick, it's going to be quick. I know I'm right before lunch, too, so we're going to run by. Most of you guys are pretty familiar with the rain garden, so... like I said before, plant it with deep-rooted native plants. These plants are designed for our climate. They can handle drought. They can handle a lot of rain. That's why they're the best. The most important, just as important as the plants, maybe more, depends on who you ask, but I think the soil replacement. You can't go into your yard, take a shovel, dig out a hole, and put a plant there and call that a rain garden. You really have to dig out the soil, amend it with mostly sand and compost, get a lot of air space in there. That will act like a big sponge in your yard, and that will really push the water into the ground and allow for the native plants have a deep root system that will really allow for them to go in a lot deeper. 4 to 8 inches deep typically is what you excavate out, replace it with that good soil like I just mentioned, and like common sense, put them in a low spot so they can collect the most water possible. Benefits of a rain garden, well, my duties are for the City of Rock Island stormwater. So when the program was first started in 2005, I think it was mostly for stormwater benefits, and now pollinators is this awesome word that's coming up, and we just are piggybacking onto that and going, yeah, that's also a benefit of this program. But they do a really good job. If you have erosion in your yard or standing water, they do a very good job, just the physical benefits of that. I'm not going to go through all that. More, small scale, there's a lot of good stuff that lives in that soil around the plants that's going to remove a lot of pollutants that you see, maybe runoff from streets, oil, brake dust, any type of heavy metals and stuff like that. They do a real good job of filtering out all the nasty stuff that we just have to live with. And so that's my main one. I'm a stormwater technician, so stormwater control is my main interest. But they do, for the wildlife, obviously you've been hearing about all the native plants and prairies and all that stuff. They just increase the habitat, increase the number of wildlife and the variety. Personal benefits, this is something that I try and sell too. Just, it's better than a yard, I think. There's less gas, less mowing, which means less pollution, increased sidewalk appeal and actual value to your property. Whether it's residential or commercial, landscaping does add value. And at the very end of the day, once you actually, you might not be the ones planting, but once you actually can see how these things grow and how colorful they are and the wildlife it brings in, you're just gonna have to develop a better appreciation for land stewardship, and that you have, as small as it might seem, you have a little way to impact the environment in a much better, better all around. You do have the power to change, even if you have a small lot, small yard. Absolutely. I'm sure you guys have seen this. It's a handout I've got. Native plants. This is what we're looking for. These are the root systems. These are the ones we want to see in the garden. This is 15 feet deep for that little the blazing star. That little thing that only looks this high on the ground, 15 feet deep. All the way to the left, I don't have a pointer. That's your turf grass. It's an inch deep. The roots aren't really doing much. When it rains, it might absorb a little bit of water, but it doesn't take long for all that water to just run off like a parking lot. I know it sounds real good, but it doesn't take in nearly the amount of storm water that any of these other woods plants will. We've had, we've removed a lot of this stuff, and that's why you see urban flooding and all that bad stuff. And that's a handout I've got. Sitting over there, and you're good? No, it might be my... Okay, there we go. So things to keep in mind before you want to dig a rain garden, and this is where you might call me up and we can talk about this too. Before you dig, call Julie. It's a pretty basic. There's all kinds of pipes and wires under the ground. You just want to make sure you know what you're doing. I haven't heard this so much lately. I think I've yelled at enough people. They don't promote mosquitoes. They should drain within 24 hours. It takes a lot longer for mosquitoes to breed than 24 hours. So people think if they dig a bowl in their yard, it's going to fill up, and then they're just going to be living in some bayou or something. But it's nothing like that at all. It's dried out and does a good job of that. They're not designed for trees. Avoid excavating under trees. Tree root systems go out. And so if you have a big garden and you want to go down and you have the big trees roots going out, it just kind of negates that, kind of creates a few obstacles. I've seen small trees, shrubs, bushes in them. I don't have a problem with it by any means, but it's just kind of a caution. Be careful on that. And then you should place these plants according to moisture. The ones that want the most water, you can put in the deepest part of your depression there. The ones that want the most light, maybe on the outside, or the taller ones might be in the middle, so they're not blocking light for everybody or all the other plants. But yeah, just kind of things to think about. And then you shouldn't put a rain garden a few feet away from a building with a basement. The point of the rain gardens is to get water into the ground, recharge that groundwater. If you do it right next to a basement, we had one guy who put a rain garden in through our program. He'd lived in that house about 30 years, and he planted it, and it was before my time, so I can't say here, but it was on an uphill, and he planted this big rain garden right before his house. So it would rain, go in, and for the first time in 30 years, he had a real nice house. He got water in his basement, and he ripped that sucker out pretty quick. And even though we've tried to warn them, so they do, and that's just a testament of what these structures can actually do. They do really infiltrate water and do a good job of that. So I say a few feet, I always say 10 if you can help it. There are ways to put tile or engineer a rain garden to where the water can go in right next to a building, and it'll be taken away. I'm not sure if that's the next picture, but we can, okay, I'll show you that tile in a minute here. More things to keep in mind. So a lot of people think they'll plant a rain garden and just walk away and then just enjoy it every year. There is weeding every now and then, especially early on until the plants can establish and then naturally keep out all the other weeds. So there's a seasonal maintenance. You might want to choose plants with different bloom times. So sometimes it's mostly a purple garden. Later on in the year, you're looking at a red or a yellow. It can change. You can design it, be creative, make it suit your personality even. I've seen that happen. And it's really cool to see it change and over the course of one season. Be cautious. I was talking to somebody about this just a few minutes ago, about placing them in natural drainage channels. Creeks, I mean, that's what you would call a drainage channel. You can't really put them in a place that receives concentrated flow because it'll just blow out everything there. You can, listen, unless you have a lot of property and can really engineer the heck out of it, you don't want to put them in the middle of two hills. Even if there's no creek there, you're going to have a lot of remulching and a lot of maybe loss of the actual structure over time during some heavy rain events. The whole slope thing, I found those figures, but basically if your slope is greater than 12%, if you shouldn't put them on a slope. Greater than 12%, we just can't recommend putting a garden at that location. There are always exceptions to the rules. I've seen steep, very well-structured engineer rain gardens. I've seen rain gardens with trees in them. Everything I just said you shouldn't do, it's nature. There are always exceptions. You just never know. Okay, here's what I was referring to earlier. This is pretty much a souped up, as much as you're going to see rain garden. You have a drainage swale going into it from a downspout. You have, this is the pipe and the perforated pipe, the outlet. That's what I was referring to. If you have to place it next to a structure, it's a drain tile. So when the water percolates, it'll collect in that pipe and run away, you know, travel through the length of that pipe to a safer place. The big part of this is that prepared soil. I think it was on my second slide. Just as important as the plants is the soil that you're putting. 50% sand. Half of that soil is sand, and then the other is compost and topsoil. A lot of people ask how to do that. I've seen real good results with just digging up the turf grass, dumping some sand, and then some compost, and just getting a tiller, renting a tiller for an hour, and just tilling it all in, nice and deep. Get a foot down, and then it just kind of, the sand goes in and kind of percolates real well. Really easy way to do it, as opposed to digging it all out with an excavator and then replacing it with a mixture you buy from. You don't need to do all that. But the most important part is the sand, to get the air molecules, the air space, to let the water go in through. I think that was about, well, and that new, that root zone, and then it talks again about the to infiltrate the pollution, and so it was, just can't, these things are just all pro. There's no con to them, in my opinion. Okay. I have this handout too. I just want to let you know there are resources. This is just one to, if you have a shady garden or a sunny garden, these are different varieties that were found. I've got some more sources down there. I didn't make up this list. I'm not a plant expert. I've got a lot of duties, but I'm trying to get more into it. So I'm a little more knowledgeable about that. But I have this handout as well, so feel free to grab anything you see on this table. But there is, have somebody's done the work to get this list together so you can plant one almost anywhere. Okay, before we get into the financial side of it, this was the rain garden that was installed in front of our Rock Island Public Works Department. That's Mill Street right there. The next picture will show you the same time of year. They're not as, you know, you plant them, you might have to wait a season for them to grow, depending on the time of year you plant them. So in the next year, same time, it just looks completely different. So it does take a while. It's not an instant, it might not be an instant gratification to your eyes. It might just take a little while for it to develop and take hold. All right. Okay, so now in the city of Rock Island, we have this rain garden program. And I actually got a big smile on my face when the keynote showed that residential development, and she said, this is not rule out anything. We can still get pollinators into these habitats. I was like, well, that's exactly what this program is trying to do. And the big things, there's a few stipulations. It can be a little, it took me a couple tries to figure out how to reimburse, but I'm just going to run through it. If you have any questions, just raise your hand, let me know. So the big thing is about, you get $4 a square foot reimbursed to you after you install the garden and it's all approved. The max reimbursement per property per year, I forgot to say, per year is $3,000. We have repeat customers that come in with large tracts of land or large, even residential businesses come in and want a rain garden every year, and we say, yeah, great. So and all reimbursements are based on captured stormwater. So just because you have a 10 by 10 rain garden, 100 square feet, and we reimburse you $4, that doesn't mean you're going to get a $400 reimbursement necessarily. If you've chosen a bad spot or a high spot where it's not collecting any water, we're not going to reimburse you for that. And we have, next slide, we'll have methods of showing you and telling you what you can be reimbursed for before you actually come out. Before you actually put a shovel into the ground. So step one, how can I receive some money? Call me, I'll come out, we'll talk, maybe you have an idea, and maybe I'll come out and it'll be a 2-minute meeting. I'll be like, cool, here's your application. But if you come out and you say, oh, I want a rain garden, any of these question marks or spots that I'd like to put one, we'll talk about maybe where your most reimbursement will be, and just what's the better location that you really wanna, what's your purpose here? So once we decide, let's just say this guy wants to put up two gardens, A and B. And this is where it kind of gets, I think you'll follow, it's not that bad. So I will measure up the roof space, the downspouts that it's collecting off the roof. Each circle is a downspout, so there's an old garage with a new garage. So those are each downspouts. And I think section A is 340 square feet of roof line we're collecting, and then section B is 505. There are obviously other factors. I kept this real simple because if your neighbor or if you have even your own yard slopes into a rain garden, we'll factor in grass too. It doesn't just have to be a roofline and hard surface. Okay, a lot of stuff. Made by an engineer, so good luck. I was just given the spreadsheet to use, so that's A and B. The biggest takeaway is we put in, those are all the variables that we could be using, the roof, the wooded, the agricultural, the lawn. Whatever you're collecting is worth a value, and then we put it in the spreadsheet and it calculates out. The B, just because it's close to me, that was the one in between the two garages, is the bigger one. We have a 375 square foot possible garden to build. That would hold 1,169 gallons of water potentially, and then so the reimbursement's almost $1,500. You can go to the next slide. So the one up top is, this is just to kind of give you guys an idea of how big the garden will be and about what your reimbursement can be. And they're not bad. We actually know people who have access to these plants and have lawn equipment, and so they've actually made money on this program, and we're okay with that because you have a rain garden now, and we're totally fine with that. We just have to, reimburse you. So we give you the max. So So the one on the bottom, I think it was a 375 square foot rain garden. We allowed you to build. We'd reimburse you $4 a square foot to that. If you built smaller, no problem. We'll just reimburse you the $4 a square foot on whatever the final product is. So we'll go out and measure it, and then give you that that reimbursement back. Kind of winding. I'm going pretty quick, so sorry.
You didn't go next. I've got a question.
Yeah.
Not for myself, because I fortunately have a dry basement now, but I once had a wet basement.
Sure.
So there's no reimbursement. I'm sure rain garden work for your sump pump outflow, right?
We don't.
Is that not true?
Well, we can't calculate that.
Right. So there's no reimbursement.
No reimbursement on a sump pump.
Right, but that'd be an effective way of getting.
Oh, it'd be perfect. Yeah, yes. And within the past week, a guy wanted reimbursement for his sump pump and his downspout. And I said, well, we can just do the downspout because we can calculate the square footage based on this rain event. But sump pumps, sometimes they kick on, and it's hard to measure the amount of water that it'd be collecting.
But it's still a good technique.
Oh, absolutely. Yep, you can run it out to a rain garden, absolutely. As long as it's not right next to your house or it has some type of tile in it. Yeah, absolutely. I get a lot of questions about that. Hey, I've got drainage problems. And most of the time for me, it's erosion and stuff like that, and we get these in and they do real well. Where am I at here? Okay, so yeah, we give you the reimbursement. We tell you the amount that you can do. This is as big as you can go. If you want to go any bigger, that's just out of your pocket. It's fine with us. And then you start digging. Let's see if there's anything. There might be one more. Okay, so a few things about the program itself. You receive a free rain barrel. All you have to do is take part of the program. You don't have to have a minimum size garden. If you want it 10 by 10, 5 by 5, if you use our program, we'll give you a rain barrel. You're able to use your neighbor's runoff in real tight circumstances, or if you're at the bottom of a hill and all your neighbors are above you, if your neighbors are okay with it, we'll calculate all their roof line for you. They just can't use their roof line if they ever want to build a rain garden, and I doubt they would if they're not at the end of the line like that, but we've never ran into that. We've always been real good with talking to the neighbors and saying, hey, do you care? And most of the time, no, that's fine. Yeah, we've done it many times. So, the program, I don't know if I said this, is funded by our stormwater utility credit, or utility. The City of Rock Island, you pay a stormwater fee, and that's where this comes out of. But based on the amount of gallons you could hold, like that one, the B and A and B garden, you'd probably receive a 50% credit on your stormwater bill. And before, you give me a huge round of applause for that. It's $2 a month, I think. But it still adds up. And we really encourage that. And the only thing we do, because you do get that credit, is once a year we send out myself or an intern to just check out, take some pictures, make sure it's still there, and make sure the credit that you're receiving is still valid. That's coming up to the end, I think. Yeah, and there's kind of a rain garden on a slope where he's engineered it around with rock to stop the velocity of the water coming in and out, slows it down a little bit, and has had real good luck with that. Okay, I've got 10 minutes with 10 minutes till lunch. I'd be happy to, yeah?
How much is the city's budget for this
project? It fluctuates, but it's been 20, 30,000, actually, and we've already run out. So we have three programs, a drainage program, a rain garden program, and a sump pump program. And all of those, I don't make these calls, but they can all be kind of borrowed money from each other. So we've had a lot of erosion and rain gardens both this year. So the funds have gone pretty quick, thankfully. Yes.
Soil types, and when you're setting one of these up, you've got a lot of
that's a good, yeah, me being, I haven't, you know, I've only been doing this a couple years, but that's a good point. We've actually been looking at that.
You know, some places with good sandy soil,
yeah,
they work really well.
Yeah.
Other places that have clay soil, you just accidentally make yourself a pond.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, or hopefully, and if it's that bad, we encourage them to even replace more than the foot, you know, eight to 12 inches. And hopefully by the time 5-10 years, those roots are down there and they're breaking everything up, and the water is just having a pretty easy time getting down there. But I've only done it a couple. I haven't seen any fail. There's a real good perk test you could do if we ever really question the effectiveness of it, and maybe we can start doing that every 5 years or something. There's a couple of things to the programs I'd like to add, and that might be one of them, just to go out with a gallon of water, time it, see if it's still working. Another issue is I've come across it twice now in the past few years where a resident will not be completely sure of what plantings he wants. And we're like, okay, because we don't really require a list of the plants beforehand. And that's something we might need to address, because it doesn't happen often, but we'll come out and it'll be rose bushes and hostas, and scratching my head and, okay, but we'll do the perk test because all the soil's fresh, it does pass, and it might be something that we have to add, especially Nate, just give them a list of native plants. And if you want to use the program, this is what we're going after, the intent of the program. We have, I really wish I brought a map with the number, but it's over 200 since 2005. And some of those have multiple rain gardens, too. So.
And then, has there been any other requests that you've thought about modeling, or you guys are familiar with there?
Not that I know of. No, and that's kind of, that's why, today, this is possible, especially if you have a stormwater fee or a funding source. And it's not that hard. I mean, I go out, it doesn't take a whole bunch of my, away from my other duties, but not that I know of. We've never been asked. We were asked to speak, you know, something like this, but no other cities come over, because it's a lot of work to set up, and boohoo for them. But I mean, I would be more happy to talk to anybody about it. But yeah, it's too bad. But yeah, absolutely, yes, sir.
So, is there an economic advantage?
Yes, and that exactly. It's less stormwater that gets into our system, and that's less stormwater that's running through our utilities and breaking. You know, less wear and tear on our stormwater infrastructure. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry.
Is it just open to residents or commercial?
Oh no, anybody. If you own a property in the city, absolutely, and you pay a stormwater fee. Some don't, because either they don't have anything on their property, or because they're right on a river, and they don't have it goes into the river. Absolutely, anybody.
Are those 200 gardens that have been put in, or the 200 residents, enough to quantify some change then in the amount of stormwater you have?
That'd be a very good question, but I'm not sure about that. Might be a real good question for a public works director or something, but I might. That is a really good point. And they're spread out. There's not a really good concentration of them too, which I was happy to see. We have a variety of areas. They're downtown. They're in residentials. They're out near rural areas. Rural Rock Island, I guess, but yeah, they're all over. Yeah.
Do people who put these in get any credit?
Yep. It depends on how many gallons they have. They their garden, how big their garden is, but they can receive up to a 50% credit, which is, like I said, I think on average that might be about $2 a month. But over time, we're pretty much still paying you for that garden as long as you keep it up. And like I said, this was intended in 2005 for mostly stormwater runoff, but pollinators kept coming up, and we just really got on board with and started promoting it even more. So we had a lot of fun doing it. Other funds to install the garden? Sure, yeah. Yeah, we wouldn't exclude you if you're getting funding from somewhere else. Absolutely. Lunchtime, I guess?
There,
any more questions?
There is a requirement, isn't there, on commercial properties to put in rain gardens?
There's a
requirement.
Yeah, that's the detention or retention. There is a requirement for new houses, new buildings, new impervious areas to install some type of detention, and these function as that as well. They don't get funding because it's a requirement, but these are absolutely, if you ever see a lot of these rain gardens in front of a large building, they could be forced to be there to control their runoff. Absolutely. It's a good point.
Are these certified in any way?
We used to have them, I guess back in the day, just saying participant of the program, but nothing you know, they're not like certified or anything like that. Again, I have all kinds of information. Take my card, absorb it, and please get in touch with me anytime you need to.
All right, if there are no more questions, Andy, thank you.
Thank you.